Says the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis in the line and a half from the bottom, Niktam Roshel is possible. Okay, what's the case before we get to the Gemara? What does Niktam Roshel mean? The what Rosh? And here we have up to five different shitas as to what Niktam Roshel means. The Tosfos on the Mishnah, starts with the assumption, that the two middle leaves that are coming up from the Rosh Hashidra. Now, it's not exactly clear, I admit, what Tosfos means by the two middle leaves that come up from the Shidra. Does he mean, it's always unclear in this, we'll see, the acronym have, they tear their hair out trying to figure out whether two middle leaves means the like the two middle doubled leaves or the one middle doubled leaf, which is two halves. So it's not so clear in Tosfos. My intuition is that when he says the two middle leaves, he means the one middle leaf, which is consists of two halves. But you can't prove it, because if you look at lulavs, you know, you could look at it as two middle leaves or as one middle leaf. You know, it's a little tricky. That's what makes this tricky. If you look how the lulav works, the lulav, as well as the arava, if I'm not mistaken, the hadas, we know, the leaves grow, the kosher ones, three at a time. Right? The lulav, where the leaves grow out of the shidra, which is, you have to look carefully, as well as the arava, where you don't have to look so carefully. They both grow staggered, meaning this side, this side, this side, this side. You know, they're not even two at a time. You know, they're all staggered. And the lulav is the same thing, just you don't notice it unless you look very carefully because it's all squished together. But the lulav, I don't even think I can draw it because I can't squish it together well enough. But it's also staggered. You have like one going up here and then one going up a little higher. And one going up here and one going up a little higher and one going up here. And one going up a little higher, which means that when you get to the top, you have one going up here, one going up here, and then the middle continues. So, like, what's the middle? On the one hand, you could look at the one middle one, and that's one of the reasons I think why it's so confusing. Like, is there one middle one or two middle ones? Well, there's one middle one, because if you look, how can you tell at the last fork which is the middle one? How can you tell at the last fork which is the continuation of the shedra and which is the leaf? It's actually very easy. The previous fork was on the left. Then what forks off on the right is a leaf and not the shedra. And the middle is the shedra. You know, so you can tell. I looked at a little. How do I tell? There's always a last fork which has two coming out of it, by definition. There's a fork with two coming out. How do you know which is the shedra and which is the leaf? So the answer is, you could look at the highest one. Sometimes there might be the same height. It's not always so meductive the way things grow. The answer is very poshut. You just go from the other side of the last fork and you can tell which way is forking off and which way is the middle. So, is there one middle or two middle? I think it's very ambiguous, and that's why the Rishonim could argue, and that's why the Achronim could argue what the Rishonim mean.
Could it also be that there's a machlokas in Mitzius that different places had different kind of loving that some actually had where there was two in the middle and some didn't have it?
It could very well be, although it could be, and I haven't checked all the botany, but my intuition is that it's not that different places had different, even though Beis Yosef said different places, but he doesn't mean that. He just means in terms of the Korah. I don't think that different places had two in the middle. I think it's just a matter of how you conceptualize it. Because there's always two in the middle. There's always a last fork. That last fork has two things coming out of it. So if you choose to conceptualize it that way, you can say every lulav has two in the middle, the last fork, right? At a certain point, right? The second to last fork goes like this and like this. So this is obviously not the middle. And this obviously is. But the last fork, you could say everyone has two in the middle. There's a last fork. Or you could say, no, everyone has one in the middle. In the last fork, whatever's on the opposite side from the previous fork is a leaf. And whatever's on not is the continuation of the sidra. So kach nirah li mi'asdaiti, although I have not done proper research in, other than taking down from the top of the Aron Kodesh. I have not done proper research. Okay, so I'll try to do the best with my limited botany. Let's go. So what is Niktam Roshel? First, let's just get the shitas down, right? There's obviously a lot of technicalities in these things, as you would have imagined. And let's see, what is Roshel? So we have up to five shitas. Tosos is have amina is, or not just Tosos have amina, meaning Tosos in two of his three answers, right? Tosos, ulai. Tosos, the main shita means beis alin and sayin. The two middle ones are niktam. If the two middle ones are niktam, how much of them have to be niktam? One or both? So Tosos is very clear at the end, and they're both niktam. Or maybe Tosos means in his main shita, the same thing that's much more explicit in the other Rishonim. In I would feel comfortable saying a Rove Rishonim, even though it's always hard to tell what's Rove Rishonim, what isn't, especially since the Rambam and the Rif don't give anything away here. So, but plus the Ritva and the Ran and the Magen Mishnah, meaning the classic Rishonim, Beit Midrash, the Ramban, and the Meiri and Rabbeinu Yonah, if I recall, some of these were on the cover sheet, some of these, the Rabbeinu Yonah was in the Ritva, they say, no, it is the middle leaf. And maybe that's what Tosos also means. By two, he means the middle doubled leaf. Okay, that is, which is what we call nowadays the Tiyomes. Although, as we know, that's Machlokas, whether that's called the Tiyomes or not. Right, what we call the Tiyomes. Right? We've seen, hopefully, that that's a machlokas, but that's what we call the tiyomas. Okay, these shitas are fundamentally pretty similar. I would say these shitas are fundamentally pretty similar. If you take this shita, then the question becomes Tosa's question, right? Tosa's question. Well, let's see all the different shitas. The Tosos in his other daya says, in his first answer, says most of the top leaves, right? So these two days are pretty similar, says Tosfos in one answer. And the Rush also has this in the back of the Gemara, says the Rush, I apologize, Nick Tamrosho, and he also gives the similar answers, but first he gives, Tzarech Lomar, okay, he gives the same answer, Tosos and the Rush in the first answer, as opposed to Tosos and the Rush in what I think is their main answer, although see, they say Rov Ha'olin Ha'elyonim. Most of the top leaves. What are top leaves? He didn't define what are top leaves. What are Olin Elyonim as opposed to Olin Tachtonim? It seems to me that, now I can't promise anything, but it seems to me that, that like the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah says, what are Olam Elyonim? The ones that end above the top of the Shidra. Meaning, here's the top of the Shidra, right? Here's like the last split, the top of the Shidra. The last split is the top of the Shidra. Any leaf that ends above that are Olam Elyonim. These are all Olam Elyonim. As opposed to leaves that don't reach that high, those are Olam Tachtonim. Okay, that's a simple pshat. I can't think of any other way to define Olam Elyonim. That's Rov Olam Elyonim, and the Ritva B'Shem Yesh Omrim says a simpler way, Rov Olam, most of the leaves. Meaning, whether Elyonim or Tachtonim, a fifth daya is the Sefer Ha'itr, but we know it from the Koroshit as the Yesh Omrim and the Mehiri. Meiri, Meshenish Omen. I can't promise you if he's quoting the Sefer Ha'Iter or not, but the Torah in the Shulchan Gibor quoted from the Sefer Ha'Iter. So this is, we know, this is the sheet of the Sefer Ha'Iter. He says, Gimel Omen and the Omen. Okay, why he thinks that the special status to the three top leaves is a finish, where he gets it from. I know where he gets it from. Why should he, I understand. Why is there a status that the two top leaves of Tosfos means that? Because there's a last fork, and it seems like the two leaves are important. Why the top leaf fits the top? Why the Olam Elyonim? Because they're the top. Like the Chotem and Esrog is on top. That's the top. Why all the Olam? Because all the Olam are Chashev. Why three Olam Elyonim? I assume the Iter is inspired by the Gemara in the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, where it says, Yom Shurov Olav Nishro Gimel Badi Olam Lachim Kosher. We'll see, it's Machlokas what it means. But it says by the Hadas, if they're, all the leaves are dry, but there's three moist ones. What ones are, let's assume, means leaves. And Rochis says, on a top. So therefore, it must be the three top ones have a status that he makes a sushtel, a extrapolation. From Hadas, that by Hadas, the three top ones are special, so by Lulav also could be.
Except that by Hadas, three is...
By Hadas, obviously, three is a unit. Three is an actual unit. That's why no one beside the Malhinter says that. Right? But, it's not crazy. It could be. Okay. Now, the Tosos here has a technical question, which you could then make more than technical. Tosos has a technical question. If you say it means the middle leaf, or the two middle leaves, what we call the Tiyomes, right? So... then the question is, why does the Gemara on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph say Am Rav Yeshua ben Levi Nikla Hatiyomes Pasol? That's Tosfos Kasha, right? Question is, if Niktam Hatiyomes is Pasol, or Allah Emtsa'i, or the Allah Emtsa'i is possible, then what's the Chiddush of Nikla Hatiyomes? If Nikla is possible, what's the Chiddush of Nikla? Obviously, Kol Shekein. And Tosfos gives two answers. He says, could be that it doesn't mean here the middle one, right? But if it does mean here the middle one, right? If, according to this Shita. So Tosfos gives two answers, and Sfas Emes gives another interesting answer. It says, Tosfos, what's his first answer? We'll say in order. Because Havamina the Nitla Yoser Hadar Miniktam. No, cut off is possible, but you would have thought removed is kosher. Because removed doesn't look as bad as cut off. Cut off, it looks, if you cut off the top leaf, that looks ugly. If you remove the top leaf, it just looks like it's not the top leaf, there are other top leaves. Right? Tak, it's not crazy Havamina. Okay. Tosfos, of course, is making an assumption here, which is that we're interested in Hadar. His second answer is, Tosfos, again, his first answer is, go with a different definition of Rosha. But if, oh, hold on. I forgot the important definition of Rosho. Why do I only have five when I have six? The Raivid, of course, has the famous sheet of the Raivid. What does the Raivid say Rosho means?
The Shidra.
This is a tremendous kula of the Raivid that he doesn't care about the leaves at all. Only if the Shidra is Katam. That is a tremendous kula. It seems to be based on some idea that the Chetza of the Lula, that's what he says, is Lulav, he goes through the whole perek, said, the word lulav means the shidra, because if it meant the leaves, it would have said olin, right? Nifritsu olav. Now, it's not such a good time now, because we said rosho. It could be that when we say rosho, we know that means olin, but he assumes that it seems to be some sort of lundish point, that the ikr heftza of lulav is the shidra, the olim are just a tanai, and therefore it's only if the shidra is niktam. That's obviously tremendous kula, because that almost never happens.
Actually goes along with what we learned about Ephraim, that they even brought this thing. What happens if you have just a shidra and you tie the loose to it? What kind of havamina would you have that would be kosher?
Correct.
If you hold that the shidra is the important part,
correct,
that makes sense.
The only problem is that then the raiva doesn't work with shitasin, because he says, oh, it's obvious that that's possible because you don't have leaves. So that's why the Raivid does not, he doesn't follow through, meaning I would have put a whole board of Raivids following through if he had followed through as well as we had expected. He does not follow through, so I'll just point it out. Okay, let's just finish this question. Says Tosfos, ah, no, there's a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that Niktam Pasol Rak Im Niktamu Shnehem. But Nitla is Pasol Afilu Nitla Achas. Meaning whatever he means. If he means two leaves, then nikdam is only if they're both cut. Nikla is even if one is removed. If he means one doubled leaf, nikdam is only if the whole doubled leaf is cut. But nitla is only even if one half of it is cut. Okay, the Tzvas Emes gives another answer. Says the Tzvas Emes, you can give a Lundish answer. Now, the problem with this Lundish answer is that, meaning it's not, he has to add some assumptions to the bare words of the Gemara, but just because nikdam is puzzle and nitla is puzzle, he says, as far as that is in general, like a real Briscoe London, you could see again and again. I know that, his derech of avoda was not exactly the same as the Briskers, but his derech of limud was awfully similar. He says, puzzle and puzzle are not necessarily the same. There are different psulim floating around. And says the Sfas Emes, he says it could be that it's a more serious psul. So he says, for example, maybe the chiddush is that niktam is puzzle. And here is two formulations. If you take Rashi and Tosos, midin hadar. Niktam is puzzle midin hadar. But nitla is puzzle. Mishum she'ein shame lulav alav. Meaning, if you remove the tiomes, it's not a lulav anymore. That's not a lulav. It's not a haloshem lulav. If you nikdam the tiomes, it's a haloshem lulav, but with a lack of hinder. And what's the nafkamina? So that's what the Mishnah is telling you, it's a lack of hinder. Rabbi Yishum Levi, or whoever it is, comes. It is Rabbi Yishum Levi says, you should know nitla tiomes, that's a nupsol. That's enokari, it's not called a kapos tomorrow. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is, there are different shittas, but
more than other than the first day.
The nafkamina could be, according to, nafkamina is, according to the Rambam. Now, I don't mean the Rambam holds this. I mean, according to the Mahalach of the Rambam in second day, this would be kosher b'yom tov sheni, because the Rambam doesn't require hug b'yom tov sheni. I don't mean that's the Rambam holds. I just means, the derech harambam, well, this would be puzzle the yontif sheni, and even according to the derech of Rashi and Tosfos, even according to the derech of Rashi and Tosfos, who says hadar is also chisar and hadar is also puzzle yontif sheni, they get silly enough kamina. This would be notel b'shas hanchak, and this would be ain't no notel. Because maybe only Hadar we compromise with Shas HaChak, but other things we don't. This is obviously according to one assumption. But he says it could be, you could say, Rabbi Shimon Levi was telling us a Lundish Chiddush. Not that we didn't think it was possible, we knew it was possible, but we didn't know how deeply it was possible. Or another formulation, or C star, an alternative formulation is, and this gets into the Chakira that is we really wanted to deal with, which we'll come back to in a second. You could say that niktam is puzzle mi din lekichatama. Remember, Rashi and Toso said that why is chaser puzzle? Not because it's a lekichatama. Because not lekichatama, right? While nikla is puzzle mi din hadar. And then the nafkamina would be clear. The nafkamina would be that nafkamina, according to the derech of Rashi and Tosos, we'll see nothing in a second, that Lekicha Tama is Kasher B'Yom Tov Sheni. We know Chaser is Kasher B'Yom Tov Sheni. That was Reb Chanina, who would... What?
Nafkamina is backwards, isn't it?
No. Either way, Nitla is deeper. But is it that Niktam is Hadar and Nitla is deeper than Hadar? Or Nitla is Hadar and Niktam is less deep than Hadar?
Hadar is no good the whole Yom Tov. Nitla Pasul is only the first day. No.
No, he's saying the opposite.
All right.
Okay.
But there's no mitzvah that warrants to make this distinction. They're both cut. They're both chaser. They're both lacking
a hinder. No, maybe one is just a lack of hinder because it's chopped off a little, but it still has it. If it doesn't has it, that's not the tzur of a lulav. Or you could say, if it's chopped off a little, it's still hotter. It's just not showing. But if it's gone the gamri, that's a lack of hinder. Okay, that's what he suggests. Now, let me just, before we get on to the lumdus, you can take it or leave it. Before we get on to the lumdus, let me just point out how we paskin. Taka, how do we paskin about this? Good to know. The mechaber, interestingly, paskins like The Shita of Tosos in one day, which is a little funny because there aren't a lot of Rishonim who seem very committed to this. So this is the Mechaber. The Mechaber paskins only for Rovalim Yonim. He's not worried about Ketima of the top leaf. However, the Rama paskins that the middle leaf, says the Rama. In Efshar, even the Rama, Me'ikar Adin is Mekel. Me'ikar Adin, as long as most of the leaves aren't chopped, it's okay. But if possible, you should get one the middle leaf isn't chopped. What does he mean? If you go to the store and they sell ones that are good, buy it. If they only sell one the middle leaf is chopped, as long as the most of the leaves aren't chopped, you can still say a bracha. But you should try to be machmir. And here, among the Achronim, there are many, many deos as to whether this is true or not. We'll just mention a couple of them. That ties into another practical machlokas. Let me mention one other practical machlokas. I hope that it's not too tedious seeing some of the practical issues. If you say that most of the olim are either way, the question is, what's the shear? The truth is, either way, what's the shear? What leaf is chopped, right? The first 5 days, so what leaf is chopped? 2 leaves, 1 leaf, most of the top leaves, most of all the leaves, or 3 top leaves. But how much the leaf is chopped? If it's chopped kol shehu, or only if it's chopped berov? This is a tremendous machlokes. Is it possible if the leaf is chopped niktam kol shehu or rov ha'aleh? The answer doesn't have to be the same for each of the first 5 shitas, right? It could be that in 1 shita is kol shehu, but it's the same machlokes. Right, and this is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous machlokes. As you well know, I thought from Tosos it sounded like even any amount. But, because he doesn't say. If he doesn't say, it sounds like any amount is katan. But I can't really prove that. Anyway, the Ritva and the older Rishonim Sfarad bring a machlokes about this. The Ritva brings a machlokes. The Ra'ah brings a machlokes. The Ran brings discusses this. The Me'iri and the Mishnah brings machlokas. So this is a machlokas in the Ritva, Ra'ah, Magid Mishnah, the Od Rishonim. Right, most Rishonim end up being machmir lemaisa. So, bottom line, what is the halacha? Let's just mention here, the Gra paskins this way. Me'ikar Hadin. He says, no, if the middle leaf is cut, it's puzzle. There's nothing to talk about. Paskins way Me'ikar Hadin. The Mishavur is Machriya based on some. The Mishnah Berurah is Machriya based on some Achronim, that he takes this Machlokas into account also, and Hachras Mishnah Berurah, Beniktam Aleh and Tsoi, the low robe Aleh Milyonim, which is the Machlokas Mishonim. Right, remember, the Machab would say Heter Gomer. The Gra would say Pasul Lagamre. The Ramah would say it's better not to, but if that's what you have, make a bracha, says the Mishnah Berurah. He says, if it's niktam miktsaso, niktam miktsaso ole, remember, not most of the leaves, that's what we're talking, most of the leaf, then yavarech alav im lo matza lulav acher, and if it's niktam Rov ha'ole, then yitol b'li bracha. That's his hachra, meaning if the middle leaf is chopped and only a little of it, you have two tzadim l'hakel. Maybe nikdam roshu means most of the leaves, so the middle leaf is no problem. And even the middle leaf is a problem, maybe only if it's mostly chopped.
So he disagrees with
and the Ramam. And therefore, what?
So he disagrees with the Ramam, because he said the Ramam ikra then holds that it's rov ha'ole.
No, I'm not the rov ha'ole, I'm talking about rov.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Only when there's 2 tzadim l'hakel.
Right.
But if you only have 1 tzadim l'hakel, because most of the middle leaf is chopped, then you just take it without a bracha. Okay, halacha l'maisa. Now, Tzchetz, can we ask for your help? Let's get to some lumdus. what's the big lundus here? The Sas Emes already hinted at the lundus when, I mean, I just took the end of the Sas Emes before the beginning. In the Psul of Nikdam Rosho, what's the big lundus in Nikdam Rosho? Is, why is Nikdam Rosho possible? Is it possible because of Hadar, which Tosos seems to assume, why does Tosos assume? Because in the course of Shakla Tari, he says, Salka Daiti, the Chosh of Hadar, Tvei, Mi Nikdam. So is it because of Hadar? And who says Mefurish is because of Hadar, of course? Rashi, I mean, black and white, possible to little heavy Hadar, right? Couldn't get more explicit than that if you tried. If you look in the Ritva, he also assumes it's Hadar. If you look in the Me'iri, he also assumes it's Hadar. But says the Sfas Emes, he would not have thought that. It's pretty bold of him, because I haven't found anything showing to back him up.
You mean for the Kikha Tama?
Yes. He says...
I have one.
Which Rishon says the Kikha Tama?
Hariva Van.
The Riva Van says the Kikha Tama?
Yeah, Mashu Mubarashi, Soda Pesul, Mephas Chosef.
I have a Riva Van in the base language.
That's what they got here.
Okay.
They make a big deal of it.
They should make a big deal of it. I just didn't know it was a Riva Van. Okay. The Masifta, which usually tells the truth, says that this is the Shita of the Ravan. Al Pi Rov, it's the Shita of the Ravan. Rov Sikuyim, it's the Shita of the Ravan. So, here we ask the Psul, Nikdam Rosho, not what is it practically, but what's the reason behind it? Is it because of Hadar? This is Rashi and Tosfos and the Iri and the Ritva. You'll take my word for it, or you'll just read them and you'll find that word. Or is it because of Liki Chatama? You need Shlemos, right? That's the Shita of the Sfas Emes. And according to the Masifta, the Shita of the Rivavan. Okay. The...
Rebbe?
Yes.
How about Chaser? Is that this? That's different than Liki Chatama?
No, Chaser would be like Liki Chatama. Right. I'll explain what I mean in a moment. You know, Liki Chatama, you know, we could call this Chaser. Yeah. So is it because it's not Mehoder or because it's not Shalim? So, I'll just mention a few nafkaminas. The Sfas Emes already mentions a couple nafkaminas. Right, nafkamina is one. No, he said...
That's what you have on the board.
No, he suggested... what he says, according to my way, say this way, and according to the other way, say that way. He was covering all his bases, right? So, maybe that's what confused you, and if so, I apologize. One nafkamina was maybe... Shas Adchak, right? We don't know. Remember, so machlokas are all the psulim okay with Shas Adchak, or take them Shas Adchak, or only Hadar. Could be only Hadar, because Hadar is subjective. Okay, but you're not going to say Liki Chatam is subjective. Either it's Shalim or not. So if you said it's Hadar, then you would say no klim b'Shas Adchak. But if you would say it's a different psul, then maybe ain't no klim b'Shas Adchak. We can't promise. Right, because that depends on the Chakiris or earlier, whether all psulim you take b'shas adchak or only psulei hadar. But efshar, that, you wouldn't take it b'shas adchak. I mean, efshar both of these. The Rambam said only luluf yavesh and not all psulei hadar. Or you could say all psulim. But if you assume that the heter of shas adchak is for psulei hadar, then this could be a nafkamina. The second nafkamina could be, and this is yantif sheni, according to the derech, of Rashi, the Tosfos, Le'umat, as opposed to the Rambam. Right? The Rambam says, Psuli Hadar are okay in Yom Tosheni. Rashi says, Psuli Hadar aren't okay in Yom Tosheni. Only Psuli Chaser are okay in Yom Tosheni. Then this is a Mefurish Nafkamina. It would be possible in Yom Tosheni if it was a lack of Hidr, but it would be kosher in Yom Tosheni if it was merely a lack of Lekicha Tama. That's what the Sfas Emes says. I thought you could add. Or I found you could add maybe a few other nafkaminas. I thought maybe you could say, remember the six shitas we had, Nikdam Rosha, what's the Rosh? What is the most mechudish there?
The Raivid.
Really, if all the leaves are chopped, it's no problem?
Yeah.
Every single leaf is chopped, is no problem, as long as the shidra is intact? That's a big chiddush, that Raivid. Okay, now, sometimes someone makes mechudish seder, you know. But Afshar, maybe the Shitas are right. I would think, but I can't promise this at all, from perspective of Hadar, then this might be impossible. Really, you're going to say if all the leaves are chopped and the shinder is intact, it's still Hadar? That's Hadar if all the leaves are chopped? Now, it's very hard to say, because when you learn all the sugyas and lubagazel as to what's hadar, what isn't hadar, it's not always intuitive what you would have thought. So the answer is maybe our aesthetic sense is, the answer is either maybe our aesthetic sense is not as well developed as Chazal's aesthetic sense, or Chazal defined hadar not based on purely an aesthetic sense, but some sort of more mystical, philosophical understanding. So I can't tell you, like, it's impossible that midin hadar, you're allowed to chop off the leaves, just not the shidra. But it doesn't make sense, right? It seems impossible. However, then, if it's about l'kichatama, then the right, it is very possible. L'kichatama has to be shulling. What has to be shulling? The chefza has to be shulling. If the chefza is the shidra and the olam are tanai, then the chefza is shulling. So I'm not banking on this. I'm banking on the first two, but I will bank on this one. Not to bank on it, but it's Efshar. This is a famous discussion of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which is on the Makor Shin 40, I think. Niktam, what if it's niktam a tiny bit? Now, if it's niktam a tiny bit, you need a magnifying glass, then obviously that's kosher. Well, niktam torah malachi asharis, that's ridiculous. If it's niktam so much that everyone notices, it's obviously possible. What's the machlokas? What if it's niktam enough that if you look closely, you see that it's niktam without a magnifying glass? You look closely, you see it's niktam, but if you look at it at arm's length, it doesn't look niktam, right? So, what if, now, you could just say, that's dumb, a machlokas as to how halacha measures things. But, maybe you could say the nafkamina is, if it's niktam, sas, meaning it's visible only from very close. The ktima is, it looks whole, unless you start examining it, then it looks chaser. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. This is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's nafkamina. This is the Sfas Emes says nafkamina. You know, I didn't invent these nafkaminas. I only invented the one that's not so good. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if it's bidin hadar, then hadar depends how it looks normally. Hadar doesn't depend if you examine it closely. No, you walk around. Does it look nice? It looks nice. Then it should be kosher. After all, it's hadar. It looks good to everyone. But if it's bidin chisaron, then chisaron is a matter of how it looks, a matter of what it is. If you can't see it without a magnifying glass, that doesn't exist. But if you can see it when you look closely, right, just like the bugs, right? Let's say, if you need a magnifying glass to see the bug, it's kosher. What if it doesn't look like a bug, but if you look like this, you see a bug? Then it exists, right? So, if it doesn't look, it doesn't look chopped. But if you look like this, you see that it's chopped, then it's not showing. Then the chisaron exists. So he says that's a very nice nafkamina. What's the standards? The standards, how it looks to most people most of the time, when you look at it normally, or the stands are objectively what's really there when you examine.
If I look at a bug under a magnifying glass, I can't eat it after that. I mean, so if I notice in my loop...
Sure you can.
You can?
I'm not getting into the details. If you can't see anything, and then you look under a magnifying glass and you can see it,
that's what I'm saying,
then you can eat
that's
it.
That's a bit clear. Hadar decided by you or by other people?
No, but either you also don't normally look like this. You hold it like this.
But you know.
Okay. And maybe one other thing, the Sfas Emes Davka denies this nafkamina, but we didn't see this yet. There's a big machlokas rishonim, tremendous machlokas rishonim, which we'll see the svaras later, right? So I'll owe you the svaras. But there's a tremendous machlokas rishonim about whether niktam rosho of a hadas is kosher or not. Okay, why might you think? There are six reasons. Why might you think the simplest reason that niktam rosho of a hadas might be okay? Okay, if you haven't seen it, you might not know. But most Rishonim say, because in a hadas, the leaves cover the stem. So, like, if you break off the top of the hadas, then what are you left with? Oh, you're left with, like, some leaves on top. Okay, you don't see that it's missing because you just have a stick with leaves all over. Right? You don't notice that it's missing. So, niktam, maybe, the Sfas Emes doesn't think there's enough tamina. Maybe the famous machlokes Rishonim about niktam rosho shel hadas. Niktam rosho shel hadas. Is that a problem or not? If you looked at it. Now, you could analyze this differently. But in a simple shot, if you looked at it, bitzad hadar, then probably kosher. After all, it doesn't look bad if you chop off the top of a hadas. You barely notice. Let's say, you know, there's like all those leaves on top. The top three leaves with the stick, I break off. And you're left, it ends now in the next set of three leaves of the stick. It might look like a brand new hadas, right? It's hard to notice the difference, but l'chor it's chas or something, right? But l'chor it's chas. So this is a famous machlokas Rishonim. Now, there's a million different reasons why it could be pasul, a million different reasons why it could be kosher, but on a simple level, you might say, it doesn't look as bad as the lulav. So if it's a matter of hadar, how it looks, then maybe we can make a lehadas, which is the psak of the Rambam and the Rith. Nikdam rosh shel hadas is kosher. If it's not a matter of how it looks, if it's just a matter of is it shalim or not, then it's not shalim. And it should be pasul. And I thought one other nafkamina, which is not really about... it's not really about this... But the Ravid does point out, the Ravid goes back and forth. This is like right after the part of the Makor Sheet, I apologize. What if, it's not Nikdam Rosho of the Shivra. Like the Rosh is not cut off, the Rosh is still there, but you took a little Nick off of it.
Of
right?
Of what?
The Shivra, oh. Right? Here's the Shivra, this is only the Shivra, right? Nikdam Rosho would be, you took off that. No, you were a Nikdam Rosho. Let's say... You just walk off like a little bite over there, right? It still has the rosh. You just took off a little bite. Is that a problem or not? The Ravid is having the thought it was a problem, and Meskana decided it wasn't the problem. So it could be, now this goes against what I said a little earlier, at least in the Meskana, but it could be that that's not a nafkamina within Nikdam Rosho, right? This is a nafkamina not within Nikdam Rosho. But just, what about chaser kol shehu? What if it's just chaser kol shehu me rosh hashibra? It's not nikdam, it's chaser kol shehu me rosh hashibra, but not nikdam. You know what, we don't have to separate so much. What if it's chaser kol shehu? It wasn't nikdam, it was just chaser kol shehu me rosh hashibram hashibra velo nikdam. So, says the Ravid in his Havamina, Ravid Mahadur, it wasn't just a Havamina, Mahadura Kama, when he first wrote the Hilchos Lulav, he said it's puzzle. That might be because he was looking at it from a Chasser perspective, like my suggestion in number three. In the end, he comes back and says, Ravid Mahadura Basra, he adds, he said, I'm adding a Haggah here, I changed my mind. No, there's no Psal of Chisarum in Lulav, then what's the problem with the Rosho? He would have to say Hadar. Even though that's against what I said in number three, it could be that it changed the mind about that Lamaskana. Okay, so these are just some nafkaminas of this Chakira. I don't know if I'm if there's more nafkaminas.
You mean he changed his mind and he went over to Rashi's perception of Hadar?
It could be.
And then he gave up on the whole idea of the Shidra also?
Could very well be. Now, let me just ask a simple question. Let me ask a very, very simple question. The Tzad of Hadar, if you say... If we did l'kichatama, not hadar, you'd say it doesn't look so ugly, it's just a psul l'kichatama. If you say it's the tzad of hadar, like Rashi says here, then why isn't it psul because of l'kichatama? It's taka missing, right? How could you have such a shita? How could Rashi have such a shita? Question is, but isn't it obviously psul mishum Chaser/Lakichatama, meaning it's clearly chaser, no? Isn't it obvious that it's chaser? How can anyone say that it's only a psul of hadar? So.
So you have so many, like, if you use a leaf on an arava or you use anything, you don't say it's
correct. So you could say a couple of things here. You could say, the first thing I wanted to point out is that Rashi and Tosos made up this psul of l'kichatama. The Gemara never says chaser is psul because l'kichatama. The Gemara says l'kichatama means you have to take all four species and not three of them. It never says the species, each of the pieces has to be intact. Rashi and Tosos made up that drasha. So if you're not Rashi and Tosos, if you're the Rit for the Meir. No, l'kichatama is a drasha, but in the Gemara, l'kichatama means take all four, not just three. It doesn't mean each piece has to be intact, right? So you could say, but not for Rashi v'Tosfos, that l'kichatama means all four species, but not shleimus. There is no pasuk for shleimus. Not Rashi and Tosfos say there is. Rashi and Daflam and Vav and Tosfos here say there is. But you could say, or you could say, very simply, you could say that the psul of Niktam Rosho Mayri Ba'omen, according to everyone but the Ravid, but the din of Shlemus is Shaykh only to the Shinra. Right? Maybe you could say, yeah, the din of the Kechatam, it doesn't apply to leaves, only to the main part. Or you could say much more easily, which is what I'm going to say, is that din Shlemus, Liki Chatama, Shayach Rak Be'esrog, Velo Bishar Minim. Maybe, yeah, there is a din of Liki Chatama, but it's only for Esrog, not the other Minim. Why only for Esrog, not the other Minim? I mean, Lekachtem Lachem Ber Yom Rishon Priyetz Hadar. Lekachtem is not close enough to Priyetz Hadar to do it for the Psukim, because Esrog is a whole pre. Lulav, Hadas, Va'arava are not a whole eitz. Meaning maybe Shleim is only Shayach, but the thing is Shalim to start with. And Esrog is Shalim, it's an entire pre. How do we know a pre is called Shalim if it's not a whole tree? Because a pre is its own chapter in the Torah. The Torah talks about Peros. However, a lulav and hadas and a rava, they're a whole branch. There's no such thing as a whole branch. A branch is a continuation of a tree. There is no shlemus in a branch. A branch is defined as something not shalim. So you can't demand shlemus. A pre is defined as something shalim, so you can demand shlemus. So it could be that misvara, chazal, after all, kasar kolshu was said by Esrog. Wasn't said by the other ones. Why? Misvara, a pre has to be shalim because it's a whole pre. A branch is not a whole branch. A branch is part of a tree. There's no such thing as a whole branch. After all, where do you start cutting to make it a whole branch? Right? How do you know what's a whole branch? Where do you have to cut it? Anywhere you cut it, it's a branch. Which shows a branch is not a whole thing. A branch is just a part of something.
It's all cut. Everything.
Yeah. But a pre, I know it's cut off the tree. But since a pre is a different chalos than a tree, then it's a whole pre. That's what I'm claiming. Everything grows off the tree. When you cut an apple off the tree, it's a whole apple. Why? Because an apple is its own chefza. If I cut an apple branch off a tree, it's not a whole branch. How do I know it's a whole branch? I have to cut it from the trunk? No, it's part of a tree. Okay, take whichever these pshatim you want, and we will move on.
Isn't that the Ramban?
I'm not sure what you mean.
The Ramban in Ilkham is the second one, isn't it? That the drasha of Kaftam is by the pre, and it distinguishes.
Okay, yeah, you'll show it to me.
You say that Shlemus is more subjective to an extent.
Okay, but I think it's going to come down to the same thing. Okay, let's move on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, right, we haven't learned any words of Gemara yet. Says the Gemara, Amar Vuna L'shana L'niktam Avol Nistak Kosher. Nistak is okay if the, now, Nistak what? L'chor Nistak Rosha, right? Niktam Rosha is possible, but if it's just split in half, you didn't cut anything off, you just split it vertically, then it's okay. Here we have a famous question that the Ran and the Meiri and the Ryan and the Ear and the Rich will all ask the same question and give more or less the same answers. The Ryan gives four answers, maybe gives the same four answers in a different order. The Rich gives three of the four answers. I put the Ryan here, it's in the back of the door, and said it nicely. They just ask a very technical question, which has tremendous nafkaminas. How is Nistak kosher if Stira, what's the Stira? Nistak is kosher. But Nechlaka Hatiyomes is puzzle. Nistak is a split. What's Nechlekat Yomes? You split. You split it down the middle. So how could splitting be possible? Splitting is kosher. Very reasonable question. The Ran gives four answers. I hope I'll remember to say them over in the same order, but it doesn't matter, because if not, I'll probably get the order of them when you read or something. Answer number one is Nistak is kosher. This is Nistak miyotale. Yeah, Nistak is kosher if the leaf, how long is the leaf after it comes off the shidra? Say the leaf is 16 centimeters. So if 7 centimeters is split, that's kosher. Nechnatios means 9 centimeters is split. This is nistak ha'ole birubo. Okay, why is this useful? Because then we know that nechnatios a little is no problem. That's a useful kula, halacha l'maisa, right? Everyone's always worried about nechnatios. Says the Ran, according to this, don't worry about Nechlus Yomas. As long as it's not Rove, you're okay. Second, however, the Ran says, slight problem is that there are different answers, right? His second answer in the Ran, he says, It depends where it's nistach. This is nistach. I have no idea how to write this on the board. But I should have brought a lulav here. I should have at least brought a blank piece of paper here. Let's see. Here is a blank piece of paper. No. No, I'm good. I just wonder, like, yeah, I'm probably not allowed to rip these pieces of paper because they have to be Torah. And where's freebies when you need them?
Where are all the freebies? Didn't you use a room full of freebies?
Okay, Lo Moshe. Someone give me a blank piece of paper. Okay, thank you. This is a, right, a double leaf, right? They're all folded. Hopefully you all notice that in our lulav. Says the second answer, very pashut. Nechlecha ha-tiyomes is, it's cut along the tiyomes, right? Which you don't even have to cut it. You just have to, like, peel it, right? Nistak is it's cut, not along the tiyomes, just down in the middle. And even though nistak seems like a worse damage, right? Seems like more damaging to rip it down the middle than to, like, open it where it's already, like, folded on the seam. Right? We all know, if you rip your clothing on the seam, it's lo nora. If you rip it not on the seam, then it goes in the garbage. But nonetheless, apparently, when it comes to defining the structure of a lulav, it's integral to the structure of kapos, tamarim, that you have the dual structure of the folded leaf. So therefore, if you do this, it takes away the tsura of a lulav. If you tear this, it's just a tear. It's more damaging, but it's not, if you think about it, if I tear up the whole seam of clothing, I've turned it into material. I've undone the manufacturer of the clothing. If I tear it not on the seam, it's more damaging, but I haven't undone the manufacturer of the clothing. It still is the tsur of clothing. It's just a little bad. So it says here it's nistach. I don't know how to write this, but I'll just try to make up the best words I can. Shelo b'makom hatiyum. Hatiyum, right?
The rant says l'orka, no?
What?
L'orka.
Yeah, no, but this is also l'orka.
Yeah, but we read the rant.
Nistach. B'makom hatiyum. And again, even though it's really more damaging to your pants, not on the seam, but it's more undoing the structure to tear it on the seam. And here, it is torn vertically. Meaning, they're both vertical tears. Just, is it a vertical tear, right? Vertical means going up and down. Is it a vertical tear on the seam or not on the seam? Ah, that's the next answer of the Ran. The next answer of the Ran says this is nistak l'rachbo, meaning it is a horizontal tear. That's totally different from nistak l'orko b'makom, if you'll let me make up words, hatiyon, right? A vertical tear. He says, what's the difference? The difference is that Nechlecha Tiyomes is still the same thing. It means I tear it on the seam. Nistach, no, it doesn't mean I tear like this. That's also just as bad. It's not Nechlecha Tiyomes, but it's just as bad. Wouldn't they? It's even worse, we said. No, nistach means I tear it the other way. That's actually taka not so bad because it probably will stay together pretty well. Okay, but question of how you judge it. That's the third answer. His fourth answer, I'll just point out, is... Fourth answer is that ein kushya klal lefi rif v'rambam. According to the Rif and Rambam, there's no kash at all. You see, he's not leaning towards the Rif and Rambam because, you know, he gives many others. Why? Because it's a question what nechlecha tiyomes means. Does nechlecha tiyomes means the middle leaf is undoubled, is torn on the seam, or most are torn on the seam? Here it means nistak ale emtsoi. Ah, isn't that nechlecha tiyomes? Not according to the Rif and the Rambam. Lefi Rif v'Rambam nechlecha hatiyomes is pasul rak im nechleku rov alin. They say there's no psul nechlecha tiyomes if you cut if the middle one splits, like we all worry about. Because we don't worry, not like they're from the Rambam. It's only if most of the leaves split, which never happens nowadays. Okay, halacha l'maisa, why is this very important? We'll come back to it. It's very important to know. Halacha l'maisa, what's the nafkamina between these answers? Halacha l'maisa, what is pasul midin nechlecha hatiyomes, as opposed to nistach? right? According to the first answer, only most of the middle leaf. According to the second two answers, even part of the middle leaf, if it's split on the seam. And according to the first answer, only if not most of the leaf, but most leaves are split. That's a big kula. Okay, so the fourth answer is a big kula. The first answer is a medium kula. And the middle answers are a big chomer, which is why in the end, taka, meni, achron, or koshish, for even a small split in the geomis, isn't that nistak? No, according to these two answers, that's not nistak.
Can you explain the halakhic difference between in number three?
Three?
Horizontal versus vertical. Why is horizontal not a psul?
You mean what's the svara?
What's the svara?
What's the svara that horizontal is not a psul, but vertical is a psul? So I can think of two svaras, and I'm not sure which. One svara is that vertical flops more and is more visible. Well, if you tear it horizontally part of the way, obviously not all the way, that's nikdam. If you tear it horizontally, it doesn't flop so much. It stays better. That's one theory, I thought. Because some of them say if you tear it horizontally so far that it almost flops off, that might be called nikdam. So it could be that one flops around more and one stays together more. Or it could be that that one is like changing the number of leaves on the lulav. You've split a leaf in two. That is changing the tsur of a lulav. If you tear it like this, it's still one leaf.
Why is that problematic?
If you tear it, because maybe the point is not hadar, but just that it's a shinoi of the tsur of the lulav, that you made the lulav at the chufya, let's say, not the way the Gemara means later, or a friend of somebody shown him. So, okay, but you're right, that's a chiddush. Okay, so either flopping or maybe somehow just making more leaves is more recognizable or just more structurally significant. And that goes back to the question, do we care about structural significance or how it looks? Which might be a question, is it a matter of hadar or shame kapos marim? Or even within hadar, is hadar more aesthetic or is hadar more, amicus? Okay, let's move on to the next line. The Gemara says, the Gemara va tanya lulav kafof. What? No, that's just Abba Gehemnik.
No, that's before.
No, but he's just anticipating Abba Gehemnik.
No, but had the time to study Kassel David.
Yeah, in Nistak Velo Nifred is kosher, as opposed to, Hemnik, which is Nifred. That's what I'm reading. I'm reading it as just. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Va'atani lulav kaf of kavod sadek akum don lamagol." Everyone says it means one. That's one phrase. Bent like a sickle. Pasul chorus pasul don chorus kasher amr. So it's sadek is pasul amr. Papa, no problem. Abed kehemnik. No, regular nistak is kasher. The psul is abed kehemnik. Okay, what is kehemnik? Everyone agrees hemnik is a wider sedek than nistak. So first question is, what does the word hemnik mean? So this simple shot, what it sounds like for most Rishonim, what Jastro says, based on many, many rayas, is it means some sort of fork utensil. That's like at least one end is a fork. And a fork, their forks didn't look like ours. Their forks looked like this. The other shot, the Me'iri and others say it means a compass. It's always hard. Do they define the word hemnik? You can never tell. Are they arguing on Jastro and saying the word hemnik means a compass? Or they're just using an illustration that they think their readers will identify with? So I don't know. Hemnik l'chor means some sort of fork utensil. The Me'iri and the Iter say it's a compass. Not a compass to tell which way is north. Remember elementary school for drawing circles? A compass? Right? What is a compass? It's just not exactly that. It's more of this. Or maybe it's a little this, but it's not a fork, it's a compass. Okay, I can't promise you if they're arguing what a hemnik meant in, Aramaic 1500 years ago, or they're just picking nice illustrations that worked for them.
How did the Sofrim use that?
What?
How does the Sofer Stam use that?
No, I think the compass was not for the Sofer Stam. I think the Sofer Stam used, what?
Nothing wrong with something. It's some kli that they used in order to make the sirtutin.
Yeah.
The lines, because anybody...
Right. I guess they would have some sort of kli. Yeah, you make one straight line, you can make the next straight line by just taking a forked thing and tracing the line with one end and pressing down with the other end.
Well, you can have a thing like a rake that goes...
Right.
In the old days, I did use the a pen that you used ink for drawing actually had two pieces of metal.
Oh, yeah?
So you dumped it in the ink, and that's what you drew, and you even adjusted a little screw to get the width
different apart. Okay, so maybe it's a pen. Okay, the answer is I give up on exactly what a hemnik is, although Morty is a very good aura. The old-fashioned pen's actually forked at the end. Okay, I don't know. I have to get into the physics of that. Lamaisa, a hemnik means, nistak means it's cut, but it's still together. Hemnik means it's split apart. Now, here we have a fundamental machlokas as to how split apart does it have to be a hemnik. How split apart does it have to be to count as a hemnik? And here we have two main shitas. The Rashi is the most makel shita. What does Rashi say hemnik means? Only if what? Rashi's very makel. He says hemnik is only if?
Two heads?
Only if? Define what makes Rashi different than all the other Rishonim. Only if it grew that way. Right? Only if it grew that way. Like while it was growing, it split. And you could probably cut it while it's growing. Or that. While it's growing, it split. And then it grew in like a two-headed monster. Right? Okay. Two-headed people or animals are probably very rare because the head is very complex. But I'm sure you can find lots of two-headed plants. That's not such a weird abnormality. That it grew split that way. That's a real serious split. Some of the Rishonim ask, why is it called Nistak? Nistak means someone split it, not that it grew that way. And then they point out that's a silly question on Rashi. It's a tame way any Rishonim asked that on Rashi. Because Nistak is kosher. It's Sadug, which is puzzle. Hemnik is not an interpretation of Nistak. It's an interpretation of Sadug. Sadug doesn't mean someone split it. It just means it is split. So, what's the case of Hemnik? Says Rashi, tremendous kula. Hemnik says Rashi, tremendous kula. Only if it grew that way. Okay, then you're never going to find a Hemnik. Meaning a Hemnik is mamish a mutant one in a million. You're never going to find a Hemnik in your whole life, according to Rashi. However, most Rishonim, the Rambam, the Meiri, and the Shilte Giborim, say, no, it's just an extension of Nistak. There's Nistak split stam, and there's Nistak that doesn't grow that way, and there's Nistak which separates. After all, if you split a regular lulav, generally, if you split a regular lulav, it will still be together. It'll just that if you look, if you start bending it, you'll see that it's split. But if I would split my lulav, it would stay together. That's not hemnik. But if I split my lulav so much that it actually makes a V, then that is hemnik. So this is the Meiri.
But you can only see that the Rambam. You want to split the Shidra. If you don't split the Shidra, it's very hard to tell. You have to cut into, otherwise you're
no, give it all depends. You never know. Right, give me a second. They just means it's split and the split widened. The split widened. The Raavad in Hilchos Lulav seems to have an in-between shita. The Raavad says it got so split that it's unclear if he's trying to say the same as Rashi. It sounds like he's trying to say something different, that you can't put it back together again. Meaning it got split and got stuck that way, so you can't bend it anymore. Now, maybe that's the same as Rashi. That can only happen when it's growing, or maybe even after it's growing. You know, it could get split and get hardened that way. It dries a little, etc. So the Raavad is more similar to Rashi, I would say. The Raavad is only if you can't bind it together. It got so split that you can't bind it together. So these are similar, meaning the split is like built in. The Rambam, the Meiri, and the Shilte Giborim, Shilte Giborim says, Rashi says only grew that way, but we don't hold that way. We paskin very clearly, the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is very clearly like the Meiri, etc., that even if it didn't grow that way, even if it's not like permanently that way, you could bind it together. But if there's a split that when you didn't tie it would make a V, then that is a problem. There's a big machlokas in Hemnik between the everyone and the briskers. It's actually fascinating. You open up one of these books like this, or Piskei Tshuvos or something, and every single sif in Arba Minim, it says, okay, these are the mainstream shitas. And then within the shita we paskin like, this is like the pshat of what it means, and this is what the Chazon Ish says, and the Maror Shlomo Zalman says, well, this is... But the Griz was machmir that maybe it means, etc. And then, you know, then it's told me to argue whether it was a chumra or a meikra did. Okay, it's very clear Masor, the briskers have. So what's machlokas here? What if it makes a V when you hold it up because of gravity? It's split, and gravity pulls half to one side, half to the other side. But when you lay it down, it doesn't make a V. If I put it on the table, there's no V. It's not actually bent apart. Just gravity pulls it apart. Is that a hemnik or not? So, the briskers are machmir, that's a hemnik, and every other posay who is quoted in the halachic literature says that's not a hemnik. What if you just have a very weak lulav and the leaves may flop around? That's not a hemnik. A hemnik is only if, when you put it on the table, it splits because it's bent apart. But the briskers are machmir, even if gravity splits it, that's a hemnik. Okay, that's a famous brisker. That's a famous brisker chumrah. They're hardened in a V, and you can't bind them together. Which, again, may be saying the same thing as Rashi then. Because how would they get hardened if you split it after you took it off the tree? Like, you could always bend them back together, right?
Is it hard lulav anyway possible?
Okay, but there's all kinds of in-betweens, right? Okay, anyway, so here we have machlokes between the briskers and the poskim as to what if gravity makes a V, but when laying on the table it would not make a V. And okay, the briskers are machmir, but no one in the world thinks they're right. Here we have, let me give you one little chakira. So here we have, what?
Aaron does all the brisker chumras.
Anyone who could say that someone in this room does all the brisker chumras does not, never met a brisker. I don't even want to tell you all the brisker chumras because I'm afraid it would be a chilul Hashem at some point. Briskers have a lot of chumras. Okay, in Hilchos Lulav, they're all fine. I mean, you can do all the brisker chumras if you just had an extra couple hours to find a lulav. It wouldn't be a big deal. The question is, you have to. So here we have a split between the briskers and the poskim. I don't mean that in a funny way, meaning the Griz was not considered one of the poskim in the door. He was considered someone who had nihugim. He had his personal nihugim. The Griz did not make it his business to paskin for anyone. He made his business to paskin for himself, and even there, his Talmidim often argued, and they weren't sure, what was his psak that he paskin for himself, and what was his chumras that he did for himself. Some of that is unclear. Like this one, I think the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav argue, did he mean that this is the halacha, or is this just a hinder? Unclear, we don't know, since he wasn't a posek. You know, the Chazon Ish, he would write, what's what, Shlomo Zalman would write tshuvas. The Brisker Rav, I mean, he was... His profession was not a posek. He was a Rosh Hashiva who was so respected that people started emulating his hadhagos, but he was never a posek. So therefore, you can open up any of these svarim. Every case, the Brisker Rav did differently than everyone else, was machmer, and then his Talmidim argued whether he passed in that way or it was just a hider bi'alma that way, you know, because miyos tov al tikvah ra.
So they
okay, we don't know.
Machmer in the slightest opening at all. And that he learned.
Yes, if your lulav, now again, he wouldn't be machmir if it wasn't split. Meaning, if the leaves just opened a little through gravity, but there was nothing cut, he wouldn't be machmir. But if although even that might be the nifredu, that's not what Achilus learned by Mishnah. Yeah, he would machmir on anything. Has to go up straight like a sharvit, right? Like a staff. Okay, a scepter technically. Okay, here is a big chakira. I just want to give you one chakira in Hemnik. What's one chakir in Hemnik that the Achronim point out? Chesky, I'm going to need your help here for a chakir in Hemnik. Yeah, it'll be very helpful for you to erase the board and give me room for a chakir in Hemnik. It's a Mefurash Rabbeinu Yeruchim that I Xerox on page 40. Sorry for saying the copy of you. Who says Rabbeinu Yeruchim? All the Psulei Hadar are possible all 7 days, except for Nisak to Ovid Gehemnik and Nechlek Atiomis. Because those are puzzled because of Lakikatama. Hemnik is a din Lakikatama, not in Hadar. Doesn't look ugly if it's Hemnik. It's just not Tama. Even though it's not missing anything, if it's not attached properly, that's not Tama. Lakikatama means it has to be all the pieces, and all the pieces attached properly. That's what you call Tama, right? So says Rini Rucha Mefurish, Nista Kehemnik is a psul of Lakikatama. And that is quoted by the Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch, and from the Magen Avraham and the Mishabrura, and from the Magen Avraham and most of the Achronim, from the Mishabrura, most of the modern day Poskim. right? Arab one, Rabbi Yerucham, he takes the day here. It's a little random. Who says we always hold like Rabbi Yerucham on everything? But no one else said, and Rabbi Yerucham did, so he won the day. However, the Mandei principle point out that the Ritva very strongly implies against Rabbi Yerucham. Says the Ritva, I'm not even sure whether to call strongly implies or to say he says. Because what's the Lashon of the Ritva? The Lashon of the Ritva is that when he's talking about Avi Kehemnik, etc., he says that, if you're ready, Nisak is kosher, kol hei chesheinu toli v'avi kehemnik, as long as not like mamish lying, flopping down like a hemnik, the hadarhu, the eno nikerbo. So it's hadar, it's not so nicker. It's not so recognizable. It says, Nisak, as long as it's not hemnik, it's still hadar, it's not recognizable. The clear implication is if it is kehemnik, then it's very recognizable, and then it's not hadar. So the Ritva, what does the Ritva say? Nisak is okay! It's not a psul hadar, because it's not hemnik, it doesn't look so bad. Clearly, in case of it does look so bad, because it's hemnik, it's the psul of hadar. So then the machlokes between the Ritva and the Rabbeinu Yerucham. So, if we can make a new chakira, psul of Saduk ve'avid ke hemnak, is it because of hadar, which is the mashmaos of the Ritva? I'm sure they bring machlokes Ritva and many Yerucham in there, because I saw it in modern-day Achronim. Or is it Psol L'Kikatam, which is Mefurish in Rabbeinu Yerucham, which is then paskin by the Magen Avraham and all the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, this is a brief Chakira. They probably have more Nafkaminas than I do, but you'll tell me if there's one really great one. Nafkaminas are obvious, maybe B'Shas HaDchak, we're more Mekel and Hadar, according to some sheets of the Nafkaminas L'Kikatam. Maybe on Yatav Sheni, we're Mekel and Kikatam, but not on... Hadar. Another nafkamina might be Rabbi Kiva Eger. He's not talking about Hemnik, if I recall correctly. He's talking about Nechlika. But I'll be Rabbi Kiva Eger. You could say maybe if it's a small Hemnik. By the way, most post-Achronim write a hemnik kol shehu is puzzle. It doesn't mean to be hemnik berov. Almost all the posts write a hemnik kol shehu is puzzle. That's why people are worried about it. It's not so common, but they're worried about it. But what is hemnik kol shehu? What if you don't see it looking normally, but it's really there if you examine it? So again, if it's midin, l'kicha tam, it's not tam. If it's in hadar, it'd still be hadar. And the nafmina that I wanted to say, and then I found, this is the most tremendous machlokas Rishonim, starting with a machlokas between the Shut Beis Yaakov and the Shut Shvos Yaakov. Probably coincidence, the Yaakovs, or maybe, you know, maybe somehow there's some deep explanation. But then between the Beis Yaakov and the Shvos Yaakov, you know, this is already going back a couple hundred years. What if you have a hemnik, but you glue it together? Similar machlokes. What if you have nechlatiomas and you glue it together? What if you glue it together? Right? That's a good. That's a good solution. Does gluing it together help? So this is a tremendous machlokes, yes?
Wouldn't that be another min, though?
Ah, so first of all, would it be baltosif, another min? So that's discussed in the Achronim. Most Achronim say no, because the glue is batel to the other min, and it counts as part of the lulav. Although there is one Achron, I forget who says it's a problem because of baltosif, but all the Achronim write, that's not baltosif, and they say, after all, you're allowed, according to most Achronim, you're allowed to glue your shofar together if it broke under certain limited circumstances, which are not so practical, but we're not getting into that. And what's not baltosif, that's their proof, even though there is a sheet that, no, gluing shofar meant you like hold it near a flame till it melts a little and glues itself together, not that you have glue. But most posts can assume that glue is not baltosif because it's butthole. So, what about a hemnik that was glued together? So this is a big machlokes achronim, and there's 100 ways to analyze this. There's 100 ways to analyze this machlokes achronim. There's 100 ways to analyze this machlokes achronim, but one way, and I think if you look in the Shut Shoal Umeshiv, this is how he analyzes this, right? This is the Shutshol Lomeshiv says. Lomeshiv says, he doesn't say Hakira. He says, well, if you said this way, then I think this. But if you say this way, then that. Oh, that's pretty good. Right? I mean, maybe I'm making it a little more direct than it is. He says, no, this is an afmina. If the psul is hadar, then once you glue it, it's hadar. It looks nice. It looks beautiful. What's the problem? It looks nice. No one can tell. You can do a good job. But if you say it's b'din l'kicha tama, then he thinks it's pasul. Right? Because, no, l'kicha tama means it needs to be intact and not glued. We all know if you expect something to be tamim, that means it wasn't broken and glued back together. If you go to the store advising broken and glued back together, that's not proper. It might look nice, but it's not a complete item. Okay, you could argue on both ends. You could easily argue that it's called tama, it went back to being tama. Or you could argue, it's hard to say it's not hadar, but you could say maybe there's a technical problem that if it was puzzle once, it's puzzle forever. That's a whole, even besides the decoy, a whole problem. But, you know, therefore, other achronim base this on other things. They say, avadetz l'kicha tama. We just argue whether artificial tmimus counts as tmimus. Or they say, no, it's a machlokas whether anything that's puzzle can become kosher again. But Shutshol Lomeshiv says, no, all those who passled it, basically says this, the Shvus Yaakov passled it, he passled because he thought it was l'kicha tama. If it's a matter of hadar, then it's taka okay. All right, so that's enough for me of this Kakira. Now, where's the Shutshol Lomeshiv? If anyone actually wants to look it up, I looked up the computer, it was really there. It's, if you want to look it up, it is in someplace. It was right here, and then it disappeared. Shum. It's Shum. Okay, it's Shum. Not a problem. The Shutshol Lomeshiv Shum discusses it at great length, and Ayin Shum. Okay, it was really there. I'm not making it up. I really have a piece of paper that says Shum. I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't. I mean, it's Milsa de Vida Laguye, so I couldn't lie to you because someone could come and check. Okay, you can ask me later. But, here it is. Madura Kama. It's funny. This Shol Meshiv has like Maduras and then Chalokim and then Simonim. Madura Kama, Chelik Aleph, the end of Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph. So, 1, end of 131. Okay, you can look it up. I checked on the Bari line. He really said it. Okay, Viter. This brisa also mentions a few other psulim that I want to talk about. Let's go through the order of this brisa as best we can. Lulav kafuf. What is kafuf? So we have two kinds of psulim. Kafuf and akum doma lamagel. Kafuf and akum doma lamagel. Akum doma lamagel, we know what it means. It's doma lamagel. It's curved, right? The whole thing is curved, right? It's curved. Now the moral say depends which direction, fine. But the here we have an interesting machlokes of poskim. Just you want halacha lemaisa. What does the guess of Mishnah say? What are the words doma lamagel add? Why not say akum? Why say doma lamagel? Wouldn't we all have said this is akum? So akum, no. Doma lamagel. What does that add? Doma lamagel adds that only. What does the guess of Mishnah say? Anyone? Akum harbe, only if it's very slanted, not if it's a little bent. You know how people, like, they take their lulav and they start, like, looking at it. So the Kesemish says, that's not a psul, give me a break. Akum dom lamag. If I was selling, if you ordered a farm implement for me, you said, can I have a sickle? And I sent you a sickle that was like, yeah, if you look at carefully, you see it's a little bent, right? So idea, yeah, got him in a goslin. Right? That's not Doma Lamagel. So why didn't you add Doma Lamagel? Says the Gezem Mishnah, very pshat, to show that only if it's really bent, not a little bent that you look like this with one eye, the chuli. Okay, so are all the people who look like this one eye stupid because they don't know the Gezem Mishnah? No one disagrees with the Gezem Mishnah. No one. There's probably someone, maybe in the Sefer, no one I found disagrees with the Gezem Mishnah, right? No one, obvious. However, the Machlokas HaPoskim is, maybe. The machlokes aposkim is, yeah, it's not possible, but would it be more mahudar to make sure it's absolutely straight? Says, what about this case? this case is kosher. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, kosher lechatchila legamre. Rav Shlomo Zalman would taka say, yeah, whoever goes like this is stupid, except he would never call anyone stupid. He would say, whoever goes like this is a very holy yid whose heart is in the right place, and I really respect and admire that, but halachically he's wasting his time. Right? Because there's nothing better about being exactly straight than being a little bent. It's not welcome to Malamago. However, the Chazon Ish... Oh, sorry, I got that. I apologize. I got it backwards. Okay, everything I said about the Rav Shlomo Zalman's window is still true. Says the Chazon Ish, kosher lechatchila ve'ein makom lehakmid. No, totally kosher. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, no, it's Yoser Mehoder. It's Yoser Mehoder if it's Yosher Legamri. Right? No, it's not possible. No chash psul. But it's more mahoder to be more straight. If it's very bent, it's possible. So if it's a little bent, it's not as mahoder as something straight. And therefore, he would say, the Chazanish would say, it's waste time. He'd say, if you go like this, it's always going to be a little extra mahoder if you can. What's the big deal? Apparently, they say the Brisker Rub, but this is another one where you can't tell why. Right?
The
Brisker Rub, he was Machbid on this. He was Machbid that it'd be totally straight. Again, no one knows. Is that because Imamish disagreed with the Kesef Mishnah and held this was Akum Doma Lamagol and he just had a very flexible definition of Magol? Or, no, he was just so Mahadra on himself that he was Machbid on even things that weren't necessary. Again, it's hard to tell since he wasn't a Posek. Everyone wrote down all those Hanhagas 80 times, but no one was always clear on where the Hanhaga came from. Apparently, he did, you know, he didn't always shout it from the rooftop. Okay, now, let's go to, yeah?
The Brisker Rav could never have a statement being local to
Hachmir. You never know. Sure, there's someplace. Okay, Kafuf. Let's talk about Kafuf for a second. What is the difference between Kafuf and Akum? What's the difference between Kafuf and Akum? After all, Kafuf means bent, and Akum means bent. So it's a very strange short Radvaz that I put in the Makoros. I'm not even sure why I put in the Makoros, because all the Achronim say that the short Radvaz is wrong. But the short Radvaz says that Akum and Kafuf says the short Radvaz, Kafuf means bent, and Akum means bent and straightened out again. Okay, they all talk about like hunchbacks, but I think people have different ways of what angle they look at hunchbacks from. So if you look at the hunchbacks regularly, they're like this. If you look at them sort of on their spine, then they are a little like that. So it depends what you can get. Anyway, that's a strange sheet of the Radvaz. That's not what all the Rishonim sound like. From Rashi, what does Rashi sound like between Kafuf and Akum is? And the Meiri is pretty explicit. What does Rashi sound like the difference is?
Rosh.
Right. Rashi. The mashmos of Rashi and all the Rishonim is that Akum is the whole way, and Kafuf is the Rosh. The Ra even has a shepherd's staff written in his Peirush. No, one is the whole thing is bent, the other is the whole thing is straight and the Rosh is bent. That's Kafuf.
Can they bring the Pasuk from
Yeshayahu? Halakov Ka'agmon Rosho, exactly. And the truth is, I never saw an Agmon growing. I'm not even sure I saw an agmon not growing. I'm not even sure I know how to translate agmon into English. What's an agmon? What?
I think a bull rush.
Okay, so I know how to translate it into English, but I know how to translate it into reality, right? It's very nice. It's like, you know,
we have a picture
of that. Yeah, it's like when you learn that something is fenugreek. Besides, if you actually add it to your knowledge, you have to actually know how to recognize it when you meet it. Okay, so anyway. Anyway, halak of Kagmon Rosho, I don't know what a bulrush is, or if it's a bulrush, I'll take your word for it. Anyway.
I think it's a long, like, swamp reed that kind of bends. Yeah. That's what it means. Now I remember it, yeah.
Okay, but I think that it probably goes up straight for a while and then bends. Okay.
I saw a picture of it in Das Mikra. It's one of these things that go up and.
Okay, great, excellent. Okay, so, anyway, Viter. Okay, so, it's probably more like a bullwinkle. Okay, now, here's the real question. The real question is, what do you do with the kneppels, etc.? Right? You know what a kneppel is?
Yeah.
There are a lot of lulavs that when they grow, the top bends over. Like an agbong. Except, they're not floppy like an agbong, but they're still bent like an agbong, right? Doesn't say anything about floppiness here. I thought maybe you could say ukko means it's bent and it's hard, and kuffa means it flops. But I didn't find that mefurish in the Rishonim, so I'm not going to say it. Unless that's what part of this. But anyway, what about the kneples? So, here we have a tremendous machlokas Rishonim halacha lemaisa about the ones that are bent, right? So what about the lulavim that the top of leaves is kafaf? Who possels it? Says the Ritva, it is possel. I don't know why people use them. And says the Ran, the same thing. Ritva and Adam always say the same thing in our Masechet. They say possel. But who's machsherit? And even more so, who's machsherit? On the sheet here, these two shuts, the shut rush, and Mashik Sashish Lahakshu Lotzi Lulav Kafaf Lo Mistabrili. And the Shut Rashba says, Lulav Shekfufa Ol Yonim Atba Rosha Mistabr Shein Advar Mamurim. Not only that, says the Rush goes even further, right? How does he go further? And the Yeshom and the Meiri says the same thing. But they say Pasol, but the Shut Rush and the Shut Rashba say Kasher. And not only that, what does the Shut Rush say about the Knepple? He prefers it. Why? Because when it's folded over, it's not going to split. It's never going to be nechlech atyomus when you have that kneppel. It just because it keeps it all in place. So he says he even prefers it because it prevents nechlech atyomus. Okay, but it's kafuf. Why are they nekel on kafuf? Why? Right now we have enough English on the board. Lama. Why are they nekel taka? It's rosho kafuf. So, is there one explanation or two explanations in the Shut Rashba? There are actually two deus in the Shut Rashba. I mean, he says, here's a reason, and here's another reason. Right? His first reason is, Mipneshi Kibriyasa. Ve'elo shukub and alish roshal v'neimad. Hainu nami Kibriyasa. What does it say later that we haven't read together yet? An akum. Forwards or sideways is possible, backwards is okay, because that's normal. That's how it grows. This is also how it grows. Now, it's a bit of a chiddush. It's not how many, how many love have to grow that way, right? So I guess where do you draw the line? But it's clearly how some of them grow, and it's not like, it's not a weakness, right? The Meir quotes Yesh Omer. It's not a weakness. It is a, what he calls a lakut. It's just, that's the tour that it grows. That's Kibriyasan. Kibriyasan is not a problem. So, says the Rashba in his first answer, Rashba Svara Aleph, he says, because it's Kibriyasan. And whatever is Kibriyasan is not a problem. Then the Ravid goes on, then the Rashba goes on, though, and says, says V'chein Nerevadai, and V'chein, I think, is also another reason. Nerevadai, she'en kol psul shemana belulav berosha olam elyonim. No, all the psul and lulav are not at the top of the leaves. She'en kei ruvam psulim, she'eveshim rosham, niktam rosham. This is, of course, reminiscent of the Ravid. Well, if he died, the ain't kol rak b'shidra. No, the psul is only in the rosh hashidra. Yeah, and the kafuf is rosh hashidra's kafuf. Kosh hashidra kolomer, etc. Right? So, says the Rashba in his second svara. He says, because, no, the psul of kafuf is shayach rak l'shidra, not to the olin. So it's no problem. It's only the rosh hashidra. The shut rush says, ukfifas harosh lo mikri kfifa, dechem and dekulo zokof, rak sha'olon yonim kfuf ma'at lo mikri kafuf. It's all straight. It's just a little bit of the top. It sounds more like the second shot in the Rashba. Yeah, he doesn't say any kriyasan. He says, that's not kafuf. Just a little of the top is kafuf, but the main body's not kafuf. See, that doesn't use the word shidra and olin, but he says, the main part is straight. If the top is kafuf, that's not a problem. Okay, so I think this is at least similar to the second shot of the Shut Rashba. The Meiri, by the way, brings up machlokas about this. I don't remember if this exact line in the Meiri was on the Makorah sheet or not, but says the Meiri, right here, he says, V'yesh mefarshim davka kafof shenichlam said he's a lochos, so he's a sibal. V'mkom sheish b'mshu kuvim derech b'yasam k'sherim hey. This is also, let's put this as a yeshom and the me'iri. The yeshom and the me'iri is clearly because of kibri nasan, the shame yeshom. So we have two different svaras to explain why the knepel is kosher. Either because kibriyasan is okay, and that's briyasan, that's a normal way that they grow sometimes, or it's not a disease, it's a normal way they grow, or no, because only in the main body they meant to pasul kafof. They never meant to pasul kafof in the extremities. Oh, yes?
You see, Machlokas, I guess, depends how you look at Hemek, but Rashi says it grew that way, and let's say modern books are written in the Hadar. Rashi still says it's a chisar in Hadar, even though it grew that way. Whereas Surah Aleph of the Rashi would say that if it grows that way, it automatically can't be a.
Okay, you're right. That might be a stira.
What would be the Machlokas?
So first of all, you might say it's machlokes whether, you know, anything natural is good, right? Is anything natural good? Or no, even natural things are sometimes monstrosities. But it could also be that it's not a machlokes. Just some things grow that way and that's seen as normal, and some things grow that way and they're seen as monstrosities that we just use our judgment. So it could be there's not even a stira. Right. Could be that some things are natural monstrosities and some things are natural diversity. Right? Where did you draw the line between diversity and monstrosity? I would hesitate to give an answer to that question in 2018. I guess the acceptable answer nowadays is that everything is good diversity except for, you know, straight white males who are monstrosities. And culture gain settlers. But anyway, we all have common sense and we can draw the line. It could be the nafkamina for the discussion between these two days in the Rashba for discussion of the poskim. What if you have a kfifas ha'olin? That's not the normal thing that happens often among lulavs. And here we have two such shitas. Nafkamina might be, what if the discussion of Lavush says Lavush, what if those normal ones, how many leaves have the knepel? All of them? Or just a few of them? Usually just a few, right? Look, the ones that are together on top. What if all the leaves have that? Right? I don't know even what that's caused by. Is it caused by just pressing against something when it grows, like being blocked by something? Or is it just stam grow? I have no idea. So, says Lavush, what about... maybe a nafkamina would be ulai rov olin kfufin. If you said there's no psul by olin, then it's kosher. What do you mean there's no psul by olin, even if all the olin are kfufin? But if you say it's briyasin to be a little at the top for all of them, that's not normal. Then says the levush pasul, so the levush should be working on briyasin. That's not briyasin. Or another nafkamina would be the taz. Says the taz is what about Olin kfufin be'emtsa'an. Normally, the knepel is at top. The ola is kafuf a little. What if the ola is kafuf like in the middle of the leaf? Like there's like 3 inches kafuf on the leaf. It's still off the shidra, but it's 3 inches kafuf on the leaf. So says the Taz pasul. Why? Because that's not briyasan. The briyasan is a little on top. But if it's like the second day in the Rashi, there's no psul in the leaves, then it should be kosher. There's no psul in the leaves. The psul is only in shidra. So that would be enough communion between these 2 days of the Rashba. We paskin pashtus, the most achronim assume, we paskin like the first day in the Rashba, and like the Me'iri, that it's because of the heter, it's because of briyasan, and therefore only a regular knepel is okay. But if the knepel is like 3 inches, then it's not okay. Although they assume that even the levush, they're not so worried about it. It could be rov olim, could still be a regular knepel. Okay. Viter. The Gemara continues and says, what's next on our agenda? The Rambam. The Rambam's a little strange. The Rambam leaves out half this brisa, right? What does he leave out? He leaves out kafuf. He leaves out chorus and doma lechorus. And he leaves out kafuts. Why is that? So, why does the Rambam leave out kafuf? It's hard to say he didn't have the girsa, because like everyone before the Rambam had the girsa.
I checked the girsa, there are a lot of girsas that don't have kafuf.
Okay, so why did the Rambam leave out kafuf? It could be he didn't have the girsa, or the Aruch Lener says...
Same thing, kafuf, akum.
No, not, well, he says the Rambam wrote akum. What did he leave out?
Kafuf.
He left out doma lamagel. He said akum.
Oh.
So maybe the Rambam said akum, left out doma lamagel, that meant all kinds of akimos, and therefore he didn't also have to write kafuf. Okay, so either he just didn't have the girsa kafuf, or when he left at Dom Lamagel, he was including it. Okay, we're not sure. What about kavutz? So kavutz is a big machlok, is what the girsa is. How many girsos are there in kavutz? At least, yeah. One girsa is Rashi. Rashi says kavutz, and what does kavutz mean? Thorns. Thorny. Right? Thorny. Here, Rashi seems to assume thorns grow out of it. The Ramban makes it sound like the leaves are very short and spiky like thorns, but it's thorny. Okay, we'll have to maybe come back to the Ramban on this a little later. But it means thorny. What's the other girsa, of course? What's the girsa of the Rabbeinu Hananel and probably the Aruch? Kavutz. Tosa says, the Aruch says kavutz means inyan smisa, shriveling. Obviously, the Aruch didn't think kavutz with a kaf made shriveling. He had the girsa of kavutz with a kaf, like the Rach, right? And it meant, and here you put the Ramban, and it meant kavutz. Kavutz is mitkavetz, right? Wrinkling, shriveling. So here, there are actually two pshatim, where all the Rishonim say kavutz means, all the Rishonim say kavutz means, equals it is shriveled, wrinkled. It is shriveled and wrinkled. That is a psul, that's a mum in the lulav. The Me'iri is a little funny because in two paragraphs he defines it a different way, but at least at one point the Me'iri suggests that kavutz might just mean short. And this is the shita of the Orchas Chaim quoted in the Beis Yosef. So, shriveled according to... most Rishonim, according to the Orchas Chaim of Asher Milunil, quoted the Beis Yosef, that's quoted the Beis Yosef, and the Yesh, and one paragraph from the Me'iri Betchilas Devarav, even though he seems to change his mind, he says what it means is kavutz, because when something gets wrinkled, it gets shorter, right? It means short leaves. How short would make them possible? If they're so short that... remember the Mishnah? The top of one doesn't reach, right? Ein rosho shelzeh magia le ikaro shelzeh. Okay, there is a third girsa. What girsa does the Rif have?
Yes, with a chaf.
Nope. Both. Kavutz and kavutz. I think actually the kuf might be first. He has both girsos. Okay, what does the Rambam do? The Rambam leaves it out legamre. Why does the Rambam leave it out legamre? So it could be he didn't have either girsa. Although again, I don't know if that's really such a girsa out there. Why does the Rambam leave it out legamre? Could be he didn't have either girsa, but it also could be, the Aruch HaShulchan said, if he had the girsa of shriveled, maybe he thinks that's just another word for yavish. And he already apostled yavish.
You meant the Aruch Lener.
The Aruch Lener, sorry. The Aruch Lener says, so maybe the Rambam left it out because it's the same as Yavesh. Maybe he didn't have the Girsa. Maybe some other pshat. Maybe he thought like the Aruch Chaim. It meant one leaf didn't reach the other leaf, and he already wrote that. Okay.
Does the Rambam always have the Rif's Girsa?
Generally, so that's funny. That? Although then he should have said with the Kof. Okay, so we'll leave that bit. Sarech Iyun. Okay, let's go on to the next line. Charis. Okay. The Gemara says, Charis, Apostle Domel Charis. Kasher, what is Charis? Charis, Rashi says, when it gets hardened. Okay, the language of Rashi here is a little funny. Because Rashi says the leaves fall off in the winter. Most of the trees Rashi saw, the leaves fall off in the winter.
Yeah.
Right? Remember New York? The leaves of a lulav don't fall off in the winter.
Right.
What falls off every year? The whole lulav falls off every year, and then a new one grows. But the leaves don't fall off. So, either, here I'm not going to get into how firm we should be, but either Rashi never saw a lulav, and he thought that the leaves fell off in the winter, or the Beis Yosef says, no, obviously Rashi didn't mean the leaves fall off in the winter. That's ridiculous. What he means is that the leaves spread out in the winter, which is definitely true. Right? You know the difference between the lulavs we use for Arba Minim and the ones people use for Skach, what they call Kapos Tamarim, which is right? The kapos tamarim, they just leave on the tree a little longer. And, okay, so either when Rashi says the leaves fell off, either he just didn't know what a lulav looked like, what a palm tree looked like. Probably no palm trees in France. Or he didn't mean literally fall off, he just meant spread out. Either way, what is charis? Charis is a lushan of hardness, right, probably. Charis means when, as the lulav develops, like our lulavs are an immature phase, right? Then, as they grow, the leaves spread out and harden in that spread out position. The whole thing gets harder. And that's not like yavish. Yavish means off the tree, it got dehydrated and hard. This means on the tree, it got hard because it grew into a firmer shape. It never gets totally hard, but it gets harder. So charis means it got hard, like when it grows on the tree, into what we call tapos tamarim in modern day Israeli idiom. And domal charis means it started to harden a little, but not totally. Okay. We will go on to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Akum Dom Lamagal, Amarav Lo Amar Lefanav V'La'achra B'Yasehu, Amarav Nachman, right? That's where we got the idea of B'Yasan, right? Because Akum, to the back, backwards, is B'Yasan. So that's where they got the idea that all B'Yasan is okay. Amarav Nachman, Stodin K'Lefanav Dom, Amar Lekal'achra V'Dami, right? Suffolk, whether sideways, is kosher like the back or pasul like the front. Everyone passes the chumrah because we don't know. A lulav that's solik bechad hutzah, that goes up with one hutzah, probably hutzah means a leaf, goes up with one leaf, but we're not sure what hutzah means, is a balmum and pasul. Okay, how many pshatim are there and what the words mean? Without, before lumdus, how many pshatim are there in the words? Solik bechad hutzah? Great, I also got four. Excellent. What are the two mainstream ones of Solik Bechad Hutza?
Rashi, Rabbeinu Chananel, and
right. What does Rashi say?
It's on one side.
Rashi said Solik Bechad Hutza means there's only leaves on one side. Right, and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel says there's leaves only on one side. That's obviously a big mum, right? Leaves only on one side. I've never seen such a mutant lulav. Okay, it would be really weird. It could happen. I mean, in nature, anything could grow. But it would be really weird. Says the, how about the Rambam and the Ravid? What do they say? Right, because the Ravid, he seems to endorse the Rambam. He says, oh, this is Sol Chad Hutza. The Rambam says something. And the Ravid and everyone in the whole world except for Magi Mishta says, that's Sol Chad Hutza. Magi Mishta thinks that that's not Sol Chad Hutza. That Rambam gets that from a different Gemara. That's strange. It's everyone in the world agrees before and after the Magen Mishnah. This is the Rambam's Pirush of Solik Bechad Hutza. How does the Rambam define Solik Bechad Hutza? Also a mutant I've never seen before, but you never know. That what?
I got the words.
The leaves are not doubled, folded, right? You know how everyone is, like it's folded, right? There's a seam and you could make it into two. It's two that are glued at the edges. What if they just come up one by one? They're not doubled. We've never seen such a thing. It would be a real mutant. But you never know. That would be a balmum. That would be really weird. And that would be puzzle. So it means the leaves are not doubled. There's only one of each leaf. There's no fold. Okay. The two less mainstream pshatim are the Rush quotes from Rav Sar Shalom Gon. Rav Sar Shalom Gon. Quoted in the Rush, what does he say? Solid Kadhutza means, Rashi says it means one side. The Rambam says one leaf instead of a double leaf. He says no. The one leaf goes up. What does it mean one leaf goes up? That one leaf, is a leaf supposed to go up all the way in a lulav? Is the leaf from the bottom supposed to go to the top? Remember the lulav. The leaf from the bottom goes like halfway. The next one goes a little higher. The next one goes a little higher. And the top one goes to the top. What if the bottom leaf went all the way to the top? Not even to the tip, to the top of the shidra. That would be a real balmum. I don't mean, obviously, if you cut it the right place, the bottom leaf. But I mean the bottom leaf when it grows. If you take the whole lulav as it grew, and the bottom leaf, we don't even see the whole lulav as it grew, right? They cut off the bottom. The bottom leaf is supposed to go, here's the shidra. The bottom leaf is supposed to go till here. The bottom leaf goes all the way up. That's a balmum. That's a structural defect. Each leaf is supposed to go partial. So that's what he means. He says, the bottom leaf goes all the way to the top of the shidra. That would be really weird.
Is it that that you just have that normal lulav and that one leaf going the whole way, or is it that you don't really have the other leaves because it's covering the sides, so you're really considered covered by leaves, and then you just have that whole gap?
It seems to me that it's, I can't say for sure, but it seems to me it means even if you have other leaves. Okay, the fourth shot is, by the way, the Ritz Gias says, what does the Ritz Gias say? This is, I'm not exactly sure what he means, I must admit. Says the Ritz Gias, he says, in the name of Rav Haigon. Says the Ritz Gias, b'shem Rav Haigon. Ritz Gias, b'shem Rav Haigon. He says that the top ends in one leaf instead of two. Solid Radhutza goes up. In the end, there's one top leaf instead of two. Right? That's what he says. Dakar Shalulov Lalos Vishne Hutzin Dvukin Zebazet. Because all the Hutzin are Smatim Holchin. And then on top, there's one. There's one pointing. There's two pointing out. Right? If there's only one on top, then it's a problem. Here also, it's so hard for me to tell what he means exactly by this. Does he mean like along the lines of the Rambam, on top it's not double folded, it's just one? Or he really sounds like, no, he's saying that a normal lulav has two middle ones, and the top has two ones on the top, and this one has one, which I don't see in our normal lulav. And like I said, it's a matter of conceptualizing. We've always called two the top or one the top. So here, I'm not exactly sure. Does he mean a normal lulav has two doubled leaves on top, and this has only one, where it doesn't match my experience? Or does he mean a normal lulav has a double leaf on top, and this doesn't have a double leaf on top, in which case it's just a variation of the Rambam? Not sure. Anyway, halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin like these two. The Shulchan Aruch brings down the two mainstream shatim. He's macher for both of them. You know what? Why not? They're both really weird. The Ritva has a bit of a chakira here. What's the Ritva's chakira here? And then we will, I guess we'll have to stop. What's the Ritva's chakira?
You mean again the psulba, mum or hodar?
Yes, it's not hadar or chaser, right? The Ritva has a slightly different, the Ritva has a different chakira here, which solik bechad hutsa, is it midin hadar or is it midin balmum? It says balmum, but is balmum just a way of saying not hadar, or is balmum saying it's a deeper psul than hadar? Hadar is just not hadar. This is a balmum, and what he means by a balmum is, I think, ein shmo alav. He doesn't say those words. This is a balmum. This is not a kapos tamariv. This is a different, and that's pretty close. It means ein shmo alav. After all, the worst soul is ein shmo alav. That's much worse than being not hadar. And what's the nafkamina? Nafkamina the haritva is nafkamina again. Not for us Ashkenazim who follow Rashi and Tosos, because we say either way it's possibly yom sheni, right? But for Sfardim, right? Nafkamina for Sfardim, nafkamina. Yom Tov Sheni, again, for Sfardim, right? Because remember, Sfardim follow the Ramban and the Ritva, Bizman Hazet, at least, and the Rambam, who say that if it's not Hadar, it's okay the second day. Ashkenazim follow Rashi and Tosos, who says you don't need the Gihatama, but you still need Hadar. Then it would be Kasher the second day, or it would be Puzzle the second day. The Feast Sfardim is what I pulled before, the Feast Rambam, I think, the Derech Rambam. Says the Ritva, interestingly, depending on what it means, I might be more likely to go one way or the other, he said, right? He said it might depend what it meant. What he thinks is that, according to Rashi's pshat, what does he say? He says this is for sure true lefi Rashi. Yeah. If it only has leaves on one side, that's not. That's not a kapos tamarim. A kapos tamarim has leaves on both sides. That's not a kapos tamarim. That's a balmum. Lefi the Rambam. He's not sure. Yeah. The Rambam's pshat is a question mark. Which way to go? You could say, that's not a kapos tamariv. It doesn't have the regular leaves of a palm tree. It has some other kind of leaves. Or you could say, no, it just doesn't look nice. Okay, so that's his chakira. He's misopic about this chakira, whether bal mum. It's really the lashon chazal. When they say bal mum, is that just another way of saying hadar bein veleka? Or no, bal mum is a new level. Say, we're not talking about hadar anymore. We're talking about bal mum. Bal mum is worse than hadar. Okay, it's unclear. Maybe Balmum just means not hadar. That's his Hakira. He thinks according to Rashi, he's shorter the one way. According to the Rambam, he's not sure which way to go. The other two pshatim, he didn't hurt, he never heard of, so he doesn't worry about. Okay, so that's an open question. But for us Ashkenazim, there's no nafkamina, because if it's not Shmo'alav, it's Pasul the second day. And if it's not Hadar, it's Pasul the second day. Because we held like Rashi and Tosos, remember our very first shiur of the Perek, but if you Rashi and Tosos, something that's not Hadar is Pasul all 7 days. Okay, we did not get, we had a late start, we didn't get quite as far as I thought, but we'll have to continue next time with Nifritzu and with Nechlet Yomes, and we'll try to go through it quickly. And we'll go on to till the Mishnah. Right, so for next year, we'll go till the Mishnah with Rashi and Tosfos. We'll go through the Mishnah with Rashi and Tosfos. And I'll send out Makoros Mirza Shem later.
Do you have to run now?
No.
I kept reading and rereading the explanations of the two Shitas and Tosfos.
About what?
I want to find the words inside. And I read the Tosfos many, many times. On this Tom Rosh, the two possibilities, where are they understanding the Rosh?